Welcome to And What Else, the podcast with me, Wendy O'Byrn, also known as the Completion Coach. And today I have company and I'm going to get into conversation with somebody that I've had the joy of meeting recently. And that's Kay Monday. Kay, I'm going to hand over to you if you just introduce who you are, what you do and a little bit about yourself.
Firstly, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited and I've wanted to meet you for a while. And then we got to meet recently, didn't we? And so grateful to be here. So yeah, a bit about me. So I'm Kay Monday and I'm a communications coach. And ultimately, I help people really like take ownership of their story and fearlessly communicate this with the world. So I work for Google. I'm a creative business partner helping some of our big brands tell their stories on advertising on YouTube. And then I also have a coaching business where I help people tell their stories in whatever shape or form that looks like that's authentic to them. And I guess, like, really, if we go down to it, a lot of my clients come to me because of the fear of speaking. Like, that's what they come to me for ultimately. And it's not really about that. We'll get into it, but it's understandable because, you know, even some of the best thought leaders have still got something around communication. And it's 75% of our population suffer with speech anxiety, glossophobia, it's called. And really, so somebody could come to me because they want to like improve their confidence so they can speak up more. Somebody might want to actually influence their stakeholders or their management team or whatever that might look like. So want to be able to tell their story, right, with more conviction. Or again, like thought leaders, people who want to get on stage and actually inspire others through their words. But like I said, ultimately, all of those somewhere along the line have some sort of discomfort with speaking. And really, like, this whole thing has come around and about my whole, it's because of my journey, right? That's why I do what I do, is because where I've been and what I've learned, and I want to help basically fast track others. Like, don't take the long time that it took me. How about actually just getting some help? And that's what it's about, right? It's about asking for help to start off with. And that was just to get into my journey a little bit. It's really stemmed, if I'm really honest, around the confusion around labeling. Why do we all have to sit in these buckets of people, right? Why can't I just be me? And I knew that I was a little bit different. I knew that I was, you know, I didn't fit in some ways. And in lots of ways, actually. And it was difficult being younger. I was really shy, dyslexic, and I really didn't know who I was at all. I felt really lost. And so I tried to fit in everywhere that I could, but nothing really seemed to work. And that's it. As I've been on my speaking journey, overcoming this fear of speaking, which has been my absolute nemesis, has petrified me. I've also been on this real healing journey about getting to know who I am. I've had to sit myself down and ask that really hard question. And ultimately, what I've come to learn is actually they both sit hand in hand with one another. The biggest question I always get asked is, what does it take to become a really good speaker? And that is ultimately it. It's knowing self. It's knowing you. When you know who you are, you're more able to relax and just be authentic. And that's what really wins hearts and minds when we're speaking. It's authenticity. And so I've always been a massive champion of that.
When I think, as I'm listening to you speak, there's lots of light bulbs going off for me in different directions. But it's like how to be a really good speaker, but also how to be a really good person in business, how to be a really good partner, how to be a really good anything comes down to that perception of yourself. The knowing of it, and also the most delicious part of that, communicating it. You know, because we can do all the work in the world, but if we still can't communicate that to other people, we're still trapped just in a different box, right?
Exactly. And that's it. It's like expression of yourself as well. And expression can be in so many different senses. Of course, words are actually only 7% of communication. What's more important also is your tonality and your physiology. Our body communicates so much. So if we're not okay inside of ourselves, then have you ever seen somebody who's not very comfortable speaking on stage?
Yep.
And it's like, oh, it's like painful because of that, because it's ultimately an energy exchange when we're speaking. Therefore, it's really important that we get ourselves nice and relaxed and comfortable, but also knowing ourselves in the first place.
I think as well, it's that if you can't communicate with yourself, it's really hard to communicate with other people, honestly.
That's absolutely it. It's what I talk about. It's kind of like people forget about that other communication, right? Is the one that's going on. And here, and ultimately, I kind of started talking about the three forms of communication that we have, the one with ourselves, one with others, and the one with the universe. Ultimately, I started then to question myself and going, but aren't they all actually the same? Isn't that just one big conversation you're having? The thing that people forget, though, is that we are the creators, that we create, like everything that's going on for you right now is because you've seen it or thought it in your head at some point. And then when it happens, we're like, oh, that thing happened. We're like, I can't believe, it's like, we don't believe. And that's it. It's actually also, it's belief, isn't it? That's what I get people into the state of. They come in fearful and of course, in some part of their life, something's happened for them to get to that. But because they're not in belief state that actually everything is absolutely fine. Like they just have to remember.
Oh, absolutely on every level. I think so many people are fascinated with manifestation, but refuse to understand just how glorious the role of self-belief is, self-trust, and then belief in the universe in that order. I meet them all and they're all trying to believe in the universe without trying to believe in themselves because they think in some way it will still come from this magical thing out. And that magic inside is such a big key.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's, I always say, before you want to go and help others, you have to help yourself. You have to fix you. It all starts with I. Even if we'd love to save the world and be universal, right? You cannot do that without you doing the work yourself. And it's the same as, you know, the work that I do. I can only take people as far as I've been, as for any coach, right? And that's why I love coaching. I've got several coaches in different directions of my life because I just think surely that's what this is all about, learning about who really we are, what it means to be us, and then, you know, how we can be that best version of ourselves so that we can serve others in the best way possible.
And I know that I find with anybody that I'm working with, one of their core drivers of poor communication is this deep feeling that they're going to be misunderstood.
That's it. Absolutely. That's what I said. So earlier I alluded to this, is people come in with the fear of speaking, but it's never normally that. It's what's under that, which is what's important. And it's actually people are worried about, like, oh, they play the what if game is what I call it. Like, what if I trip up the step on the way up to the stage and make a massive fool of myself? Or, you know, what if I say something and it's not right and people don't believe me? And this game, number one, not only is it so dangerous because you're living out narratives and projecting at the same time, potentially, it's like that thing, yeah, you don't want to happen that ultimately does because you can't stop thinking about it. And then secondly, it's actually addressing that as well. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought here as well. Okay, what were we talking about? I'm going to be really honest. I've just gone conscious. See, this is what happens. It's fear of speaking. I've just gone conscious. I've got a good demonstration of what happens, right? And I used to do this all the time. And still do sometimes happen because we, basically what that is we're getting out of our unconscious, our relaxed state and thinking, I'm doing the, what should I be? What am I saying? What's the question again? And we bring ourselves out of this. So people are afraid of that happening, right? So they're that worrying, they're playing, what if that happens again? That happened before and it was scary, it was frightening. But ultimately, what is the worst that could happen? I truly believe that that is all the fear of judgment, because people are worried about what people will think of them. Will they not like them? Oh no, will they not fit in, right? And this goes back to my story about fitting in, and people just want to fit in. They don't want to stand out. But what they don't realize is actually how unique and beautiful they are. And that's the thing that, yeah, if they do stand out, that's okay though. And they're going to stand out in their own way. And people like it or don't, right? But it's having that kind of central gravity to know yourself. It goes back to this, right? But it's ultimately, like you said, things that, so if we get really down to it, the honest truth of why people are scared of speaking is because they don't feel enough. To some degree in their life, they do not feel enough.
I think also that very idea of I might stumble, I might forget, I might go blank. And it's this idea that professionals don't do that, or good people at the speaking don't do that. And it's just actually, this idea of perfection is what stops so many people from doing things they'd be extraordinary at if they allowed themselves to go, I'm human and I just forgot what I was talking about.
100%. And this is it. My tagline is just own it. Right. And it's like one of the best things I saw on stage, actually, was a guy is a tech founder on a big stage, thousands of people. And he did that. He forgot what he was about to say. And he just did what I did. Oh, I've done that thing. Have you ever done that thing before? Where you forget what you're about to say, and everybody in the audience was nodding. And he's like, I can't remember. And honestly, the response was the best response. Everybody started clapping and whooping and cheering. And because of that, of course, he, you know, relaxed, took a breath, and it came back to him. It's like, I've remembered. And then everybody was cheering even more. And that's one of my best examples, because it's like people actually, they want you to succeed. I think that's the nice thing. We just get these narratives built up in our heads, and that's it. And it's about, first of all, just owning it, as in like take radical ownership and actually say like, hey, actually, I want to be better at speaking. This is what I had to do. I was like, it's not working for me. I didn't have this when I was younger and never got taught how to communicate. Came from a family who just didn't really communicate very well and struggled because of it. And I had to sit myself down and get really honest and say, like, I need to sort this out. And that's when I went and got a coach. That was my first like move in that direction. I was like, this is going to speed things up. I could do it painfully the long way. And that's it. Just own it and then take radical action. Do something that's going to actually improve that for you.
If you look back, what that story even of on stage just says to me, what he created instantly was connection. And I think through our stories and through our humanity and our truth and our honesty, we create connection. And I think so many people still believe it's through this veneer of I'm right, I'm perfect, I'm good, I've got... Rather than the honesty and humanity of us, which is what connects us. And the joy of this job and coaching on the whole, I think, is that we get to see a whole person. And then we like them so much more than the presented and tried to be, that actually was hiding all of these wonderful facets of them. That in people's stories, we weave connection and we start to like them and love them.
100%.
With a lack of story, we're making so many assumptions. Mm. So with that being said, what do you think the greatest assumption about you is that people make?
Ooh. I would say that, yeah, I'd like, so let's go back to being really honest. Being really honest, I never truly believed that I was going to be good at speaking. It used to absolutely petrify me. And like, even though I got sent off to acting school when I was little to go and find my voice, as my mother said, and it did help me definitely with my confidence. However, I then was like putting on a bit of an act, a bit of a show. As this has been my more recent leg of the journey, is that bringing through that real authenticity. And I guess now, like, people just assume, they just assume that I was already, you're just a natural speaker. Go on, look at you. And I'm like, no. And they kind of like, sometimes, which is honestly, I have to say firstly, such an amazing compliment. I'm very, very grateful. And I always do take those things as compliments. But it also does negate a lot of my journey, which was extremely painful and not easy. Like, it really, so much embarrassment, so much like what you might call failure, I call learnings. And it's been really less easy at times. It really has. I really had to dig deep with this. And I'm still very much on my journey. And that's, I think people just, make the assumption that I was you're always just like this.
And I think that's the assumption of people on the whole, is that people become overnight anythings.
Yeah, that's true.
And that their first time was good and they built on that, rather than, do you know what, maybe the first time was good and the second time was shit and the third time was better and the fourth time I fell. You know, there's no sort of incremental path that just takes you from A to B. It is quite the ride, and that ride is showing us the internal state more than anything else. When you think about being misunderstood and your desire to belong, to fit in, looking back, the situations that you found yourself in or have navigated through life, how have they impacted you and made it so much more powerful as to where you are now?
I would say one in particular, which is, it was a little bit perhaps later on. I don't know. It's all happening at all sorts of times for people. But for me, discovering my sexuality, and it honestly was not something that I knew. Like, it was just, I think I come from a very homophobic background. And I'll be honest, I was also homophobic because that's what I knew. And I was so away from that ever being a possibility that it just really wasn't a possibility for me. And that's when I moved away from home. I was away from my home, away from friends, clicky friends, and judgmental family members. And that's when I really felt like I could explore who I was. And it's one of the first times I've really done something for me. Like you said, when you're at school, all you want to do is fit in. I took all the subjects for my parents, not really like enjoying them, just doing them because I thought that's what they wanted me to do, you know, and having boyfriends and doing things that they wanted. And that's when I started to actually, I was living in Dublin at the time and away from home, I started to explore my sexuality. And to be honest with you, like I said, I just never thought it would be a thing. And it was. And I had to sit myself down and say, like, this is serious. Like, you've got the potential here to lose everything. Like, your friends, your family, your everything. Like, are you willing to do that for yourself? And it wasn't even really a question. It was like, I have to do this. It just felt right. It felt like that's what's meant to be. So it was hard, don't get me wrong. It was not easy. I had to go like plan the coming out to my parents. When I told my mum that actually the guy that she thought I was dating called Paul was actually called Paula, she was a little bit confused to start off with, then cried a lot, and then finally came round. But actually, what I found is, we laugh, right? This was a really, there was some really positive things from it. But there's normally those big moments in my life where I've put me first, and I've gone and some of them have been really hard, but gone and done it because I knew it was the right thing for me. I had to put myself first. They're the big shifts. And actually, ultimately, that's, like I said, hand in hand, affected my speaking as well.
Yeah, that being ultimately true to yourself, which may come at the expense of familiarity or comfort. So it's easier to avoid communication sometimes, hoping we can keep secrets or just keep that away. And, you know, through all of that, I know it must have been really emotional at times. Yes, the positives come from it, but also there's so many negatives in the moment, in the discomfort, in the approaching even of how do I talk to people who might not understand me? Mm. How do I communicate with people who don't always communicate the same way I do and haven't reached my level of communication in some ways? Because, you know, historically and generationally, emotional communication wasn't something so many people were brought up with.
Mm.
And in fact, it got closed down. Like, that's coming emotional. Somebody sent me a brilliant voice note the other day talking about, you know, I tried to raise this with my mum and she was immediately, I've got to go, goodbye. Soon as it got emotional, I got shut. And I've only just realized that she always did that. Like, every time it got emotional, it got shut and we all moved on. And it was as if the emotional thing didn't happen.
Mm.
And I was like, so delicious, because that's a thread through most of my clientele's history, that emotions were never communicated. And so when they go to communicate now, a lot of it comes out as tear, even when it's anger. It comes out as sadness almost, because they just don't know how to communicate. And the greatest fear is speaking and showing an emotion. So in that sense, how do you think we can nurture our emotions and communication on stage and off? What do you think the impact of this has on people?
Mm. So I think, first of all, it's about addressing what you need to address. Like, I would never go and speak about something openly until I've addressed it. And I think that's really important, because if that's raw emotion there that you've not got rid of, and what I mean is, this is what I help with the clients that I have. Of course, when you're going through their narratives and forming stories out of their past, what you dig up is some of that emotion, trauma held within them. And that's when I use NLP techniques and hypnosis to actually help them unlock those negative emotions that might be there. So fear being in one of them, or sadness, or something that might crop up like that. We get rid of those so they don't hold on to them anymore. We go and look at their limiting beliefs as well, because that's really important. Of course, you don't want to be carrying that on stage if you're thinking, oh, or decisions that they've made, oh, every time I go on stage, this happens. Like, we need to get rid of all of those. And then we're working with a blank canvas. Then it's like, what do you like? So who are you? Understanding who you are. What's that essence of you that then when you do go and speak on a stage, and it doesn't have to be a literal stage, it could be anything. It could be a classroom, a meeting room, you know, on the phone with your partner, whatever that is. It doesn't matter really where you show up, but it's about then, what does that really truly mean to be you? And how do you connect with the audience through your essence? And that's it. I think once you're doing that authentically, you're able to bring back up those moments, those things that have happened, and demonstrate them with techniques and ways in order for the audience to really feel that emotion. So even through the textures in your voice is what I talk a lot about, and your postures and everything, but all of that, the way that you convey that to make the person in the audience, the goosebumps, you know, stand on their end, the hairs on the back of their necks stand up, and them to really feel that emotion you felt. But I think that's techniques that enable you to demonstrate that. It's like a really good singer, isn't it, as well? They do that well, don't they? They really, you know, when they've written their own songs, and you know when they're singing somebody else's, because you can really feel they connect with that story and they're singing it to you, and it's the same.
I love that as well. It's just like, process where you're at before you try to use it to move forwards, because our stories are so vast.
Mm.
Sometimes be so full of charged emotions that even walking into that office and asking for a pay rise, if you've got lots of issues around asking for things, can cause you to think you're going to cry, or, you know, go bright red or sweat or anything else that comes with it. And it's nothing to do with the actual question or the using of your voice. It's to do with this whole storage of information that you're using before the voice. When you think about your whole pathway from where you were to where you are now, what do you think's been the greatest lesson?
That is a great question. It's just honestly been a gradual thing for me. As in, people are always like, what's that one turning point? And some people do have that moment. It's normally something radical that has to happen. And mine's been a gradual, lots of mess ups. And good, obviously, like I said, they're learnings for me. And that for me, it's like, you know, getting on stage and forgetting someone's name or doing something, all of these, right? But it's been good because it's taught me that resilience, but also been great learnings of what to do and what not to do. And ultimately, that's what I package up to give to other people. It's like, here's all the mistakes that I've made. Don't make these instead. But it's also, I think, as well as all the mess ups, I think it's just also opportunity. So I think if I was to get right down to this, what's been the biggest learning? It's, yeah, taking that ownership of these opportunities. It has to come back to just own it, and which is ultimately truth, right? Which is my ultimate lesson really has been truth. It's like, let's get really honest right now. Do you like who you are? And I'll be honest, there was a time I really did not like the version of me. I wouldn't be friends with her. And that's always my barometer. I'm like, look, would you be friends with you today? Like, yes, okay, and absolutely. Like, and it is, it's a constant yes for me now, which I'm super grateful for. I've had to be really, and I still am. When I journal, I write down, look, just own it. What is it in this moment that you can take ownership of? And I talk about, like, what are the uncomfortable conversations that we need to have, like you were mentioning, but the ones that we shy away from, the ones that we, you know. So what is that uncomfortable conversation? And how can you meet that being as calm and authentic as you can? And that's, I truly believe, I talk about this professional vulnerability. So if you can go in and you can be authentic and vulnerable, then you're much more likely to have an effective communication, a conversation.
I love that as the lesson, you know, truth, and how that has actually narrated everything to your just own it. And that's the underlying thing that propels you in your work and also what you have to do every day to do that job. Because for any time you start to falter in owning it, then you're going to step back from opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
And so many people are frustrated at a lack of opportunities. And I'm just like, sometimes like I'm... You can't even see the opportunity that's there because you're not going to embrace that. When you think now about all of the things that you have created and what you're going on to create, because I know there's a whole shift that you're self-creating for your own platform, which is, again, you've helped others, but this is the first time coming into it on a bigger scale for yourself. What's the biggest part of that for you to navigate at the moment?
Oh, this is it, right? Put me on a stage now, and I love it. That's my playground. But now, put a camera, a phone, not even a camera, but a phone in front of me, and record yourself talking to post on social media. And what's so ironic is that this is what I do at Google, right? Is I've been helping some of our biggest advertisers with their ads on YouTube. So social media, really, I've had obviously good insights into and experience with, but just not on this side of the camera. So yeah, it's now I'm seeing it. This is it. It's changed mindset, seeing it as a playground to experiment with and doing what I started doing when it was offline, which is just helping others. And that's it. That's all I've always done. I started everything off by just helping for free, just because I wanted genuinely to help people. And then the first payment I ever took was because somebody said, oh, how much do I pay you? And I was like, what? I don't know. What do you think? I did not know back then. Yeah, because I was just doing it because I love it so much. And it's honestly a blessing to see people go on that journey. It's just brilliant.
And creating, yeah, for that platform for you rather than for Google or for a brand, when it's for you and your business, how's that story more difficult or easier to translate?
I get coaches to coach me. People laugh and it's like, I've got a speaking coach, because there's always going to be a coach that's better at speaking than I am. I've got, you know, somebody also helping me very much out with this, with socials, because I'm so in the weeds with what I know. That's it, isn't it? It's when we get so in the detail of our own narrative, it's really hard to bring that out and extract that. And it's so funny that I'm like, doing the work with somebody else, I'm like, yep, this is exactly what I do with my clients. It's just like, we can only do that for ourselves. So yeah, it's a massive, I honestly think everybody could set up a brand and they'd really learn from that, because it's the best, like, it's you, it's an expression of you. So how do you want that to be, you know? And it also not really, the thing is I don't really want it to be about me, because it's not, it's about others. So it's like, wrapping up your story in a way that it's not like, yeah, it's highlighting your story for a good purpose, for learnings, rather than it being a showcase of you, because that's not, just not what it's about.
Earlier on in this, if I can loop us back to it, when we first started the conversation, you were talking about to help yourself, you have to ask for help. And I want to ask, have you always found it easy to ask for help?
No, I think when I was little and I was, like I said, unsure of myself, then I would, and I got brought up in quite a, like, you know, strong household, shall we say. That was it. We didn't cry, because it's just like, no, we don't do that. We get on with it and, you know, and you're fine and you sort yourself out. And that was it. And like I said, I always kind of knew that I was a bit different, because I was like, but why? Why not ask for help? You know, and I remember my parents not even stopping for directions. You know, when you're just like, why don't you just ask somebody? They live here. They probably know. They just wouldn't stop for directions. So we drive around for 2 hours. It's like that, right? And then that was it. I decided, actually, I really need help with this. I need someone. And it's empowering. And it's actually nice to sit in your vulnerability sometimes and go, wow, God, I've got so much to learn still. Still do it all the time. But that's what makes it exciting, is this continuous, like, learning and development.
I love the fact that most people listening will identify and connect with the idea of asking for help is not easy in a world that's perpetually telling us that we can do it ourselves. And not even to ask for help from a coach or from a mentor or somebody ahead, but sometimes just asking for help in anything, they would rather suffer in silence and resentment but do it. I'm talking to my people pleasers. overextend, overcommit, and do all of these things, because help is such an idea they can't get their head around, because it was never modeled. And actually getting help is something a lot of people view as a weakness rather than a core strength and connector of all of us. The more that we can be honest and say, I need help right now, or I'm not sure about this. When you think about that crossing over into your own life and the people that you work with, what do you think the biggest barrier and the biggest benefit to getting help is in any area?
Well, I think it's about a mindset shift, isn't it, really? Because people are seeing it as a weakness. But actually, like, if you think about management, you know, people in management, what do? They manage people and they delegate tasks to them, right? To go and do those tasks. They find out about their strengths and their weaknesses so that they can give the right task to them. And ultimately, this is it. This is what we're doing. Is you're just being a good manager of your own life. And you're finding people who are going to be able to do that job for you, help you in those areas of your life. So it's actually just self-management, really. And it's being a good leader. If you want to be a good leader as well, not only will you be a good communicator, of course, but you'll also, how you come to that is through being actually able to manage yourself better. So I think it's just that shift in mindset. It's actually powerful. Most really good leaders and managers ask for help because they're smart. Because if they don't want to do everything, that would be super costly for them and time consuming and boring in some aspects as well. So actually, why not delegate that to somebody who can help you do that task?
It's to life, right? It's like your time will be sucked if you try to do everything yourself. your energy will be sucked. There's things that are boring that just don't want to be in your life. And self-leadership, the leadership of self, is the art of truly living, of coming into directing yourself in the direction that you want to go and having more of what you do want out of this experience of life, which, you know, should be something that is heavily featured in you pursuing what makes you happy, what brings you joy, what allows you to express yourself. When you think about your self-expression now, what's the greatest gift in your self-expression and what's been the greatest change from before you allowed yourself to express yourself so freely?
You've got some great questions, don't you? Honestly, I have to go with it's love. Like if somebody was to ask me what I am just love. I'm just an expression of love. And the more that I have been loving towards myself and others, let's go back. There was a time I did not like human beings. I really was so negative about everything. And I thought people were out to get me. I did not think people were here to help me at all. So I've managed to do a 360 on that to get myself to a place where I truly love everyone. And people are different to me, of course. And that's what makes them brilliant. And then there are some people who really like me as well. But ultimately, it's, again, the self-love within inside me. The more that I'm able to develop and grow that and have done so, the more I'm able to express that and use that to help inspire others to do that for themselves.
What an impact that's having in the reward center, not just of that return of love, which I know is one of the greatest things, but having that love infused into your work, into your communication, into your relationships, into trusting yourself. I think that's a huge key that a lot of people don't. They think self-love is, you know, just taking a little bit of self-care. But when it's infused into everything, I think that translates differently into all of our words, all of our expression, all of our way of being. And we live in a world where people are terrified of being cancelled, of being misunderstood, or of being understood, but getting it wrong. And self-expression, I think, is something people really struggle with because they're afraid. And again, a lot of them are afraid of letting people down, not being perfect, tripping up, getting the wrong words, and not just saying what they truly mean. When you think about the impact that has on people online, really specifically, especially a brand or a business trying to start out on Instagram and learning to speak to camera, especially when you can't see who's watching it, which is definitely, I can happily speak to people I can see. When it used to be like, go and do this thing, talk to camera, and I don't know how people are receiving it. I can't get that tangible feedback in the moment that I'm seeing, feeling, and touching. It's really hard sometimes for me to go and pre-record a video because I'm like, this is to a flat screen that's given me no response. So it's really hard to gauge. When you're talking to people, when you see this showing up, when you think about yourself, what do you think the greatest advice around that could be?
You're talking about my journey right now. So yeah, I get you 100%. And it's about state. It really is. And it's that what if game again that gets in our way. So eradicating the what if game. And then it's about like finding your tools within your toolkit to get you into state. And when I mean state, when I'm saying state, what I mean is flow state. So that we have that relaxed, ultimate trust within ourselves. And flow state, you know, it's where we have all of our best ideas. It's because we are relaxed and just in flow with our bodies and we're out of our heads, we're into our bodies. And this is when, I mean, people get it in the shower, don't they? Or they're about to go to sleep on holiday. And this is when we're in flow state. So ultimately, that's it. It's getting ourselves into that state and using whatever that is. So sometimes I use music, for example, meditation, visualization, all of these tools that we have, breath work, to get us from whatever state we're in to the desired state for us to just trust. It's going back to that trust trusting that it doesn't matter, firstly. Secondly, whatever comes out of your mouth is the right thing to say that people need to hear, and that's it.
Preparing for something recently, I was like, I could study all I want, but what I really need to do is get into my body. So I just sang and belted out some classics while having a little dance in the kitchen before coming to the session. And that was the best preparation I could have done, rather than trying to revise what I was going to say or how I was going to say it. It was like, I'm so in my head, I know I need to just get into my body. Give us a little bit of a reflection on what you would give as advice to yourself when you think about the girl that you wouldn't have been friends with.
What advice would I have given to her then?
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to tell people. You can't tell people. This is what I've learned. You can stand on a box and you can shout to the cows come home about whatever, and people will still do what they do. And that's where it's one of my key pillars to my business is doing. It's everything that I do is interactive, because then you get to really experience. And that's it. It's actually, you need to get somebody to feel, truly feel. You can inspire through words, definitely, but like show them what that's like for them so they get that sense. And then they actually have to go and do that for themselves. So it would be more around the like, how would I get that girl to experience what it could be like not to be like that? And that's it. We're creating these paradigm shifts for people. Every time we speak, it's an opportunity to literally change somebody's life. And speaking, it changed my life twice. In fact, it saved my life twice. So this is why I'm so passionate about it. And it's helped others. I've gone and done talks where one in particular, I was doing a mental health talk that I do, which is breakdowns to breakthroughs. And I brought some friends along with me to come and support. And in that, I go into this. It's like, this is why I'm so passionate about speaking. It's literally saved my life. And talked about that roadmap and what that looked like. And afterwards, my friend pulled me aside and said, like, thank you so much. Because he was like, I've been really struggling and I've had some really dark thoughts. And I now, after hearing you speak, I want to go and get help. And that for me was like one of those like chill moments. But still, if I ever need some remotivation, it's like, that's why we're doing this. It saves lives. You telling your story, understanding your value. I'm sure there's loads of golden nuggets in there. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And if we tell those in a really authentic way to others, for others to learn from those stories, you literally could save someone's life. That's what it comes down to.
Love that. And I have the chills as well from you saying that, because it is so true. When we allow true vulnerability, which can be to admit all of those, you know, dark thoughts aren't that far from most people. When the state has got really poor, when there's no communication, and when there's a lack of love, however that shows up, especially love for yourself, we can have a mistrust, which leads us to have, you know, and navigate into a road that's quite dark. And hearing people share that, especially people that other people have assumptions about, that you would never have had that, that your life has never, and you would never have dark thoughts. You're always just shiny, motivated, bright, you know? And I think it is within that true vulnerability that doesn't need to be in every conversation, but weaved in who we are, as we express in one way or another, that, yeah, other people can go, oh, hold on a minute. Do you know what? I have some dark thoughts too. And maybe I need to just look at the light she has now as the guide to where I want to go, rather than accepting here as where I'm stuck, because it's not true. Other people can get through it and I want to.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
I'm so grateful that we met on Instagram, that I got to meet you in person, and that you agreed to come and have this chat. what's going on with you? Where can people find you? What's the latest that they can get involved with you on?
Yeah, so like I said, social media has become a bit of my playground. I'm like at the moment focusing on a lot of my story, and that I said the golden nuggets that I can pull from that, of course. And then I'm posting all the time, daily, on my stories as well, so that we can give any kind of insights or anything that I'm learning or doing as I go. So definitely check me out on Instagram. So it's I am K Monday, and obviously on LinkedIn as well, and on Facebook. So they're the real three channels I'd go to. And if you want any other information or anything, then yeah, everybody could reach out to me by email as well, and I'd be happy to help.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having this conversation. I hope that we will have more in the future and share them on here. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.